The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. What might happen if the money spent so far on this current election cycle were spent in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? What might happen? The thing is, none of these candidates have been anointed by God to be the leader of our country. In fact, quite frankly, I'd be happy to pay for a one-way ticket for all of them to North Korea. Well, but that's not going to happen. But the gospel is not being proclaimed vibrantly with all of our resources because of you and me. We're to blame. We are to blame. That nobody else. We can't go outside this church and point our finger at other people. We have to point it to ourselves because we have been anointed by God to proclaim the gospel message. If you've been baptized, you have been anointed by God to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. To be people who lead people in prayer, to profess the gospel and challenge other people, correct other people, and to lead other people. That's what it means to be a king, to lead other people to the Lord. We have been anointed to do those things. None of these, well, these other guys may have been baptized, but it's got nothing to do with running for president of this country. But we have been anointed by the Most High God, the ruler of all the universe, to be proclaimers of the gospel. And in particular today, the focus is on prophets. Who are prophets? What do prophets do? And we have Jeremiah in the first reading, and we have Jesus, who's obviously the greatest of all prophets, in the gospel reading. The prophets were those people chosen by God, anointed by God, to go forth and in particular to say to people, "You're going the wrong way. You are not obeying the law. You're not obeying the law. You're not obeying God. Get back on the straight and narrow. Because if you don't, all these things are going to happen to you." And they did, and they do. That's the role of the prophet. Now, of course, it's a lot easier to sit around a table and talk about this candidate or that candidate and get all heated up in our discussions about which way the country's going. But do we do that with our faith? And if not, why not? Are we so tender, unsure of our faith? that were afraid to say, no, this is the truth. This is the truth, not that, not that. This is what God wants for us. He doesn't want that for us. He didn't plan things that way. He didn't design the world in that way. But do we take seriously that anointing that you and I have been given to proclaim the gospel, to be a prophet? Now, maybe you're also saying, ah, but what happened to Jeremiah? What happened to Jesus? I don't want that to happen to me. And what did happen to Jeremiah? Well, the king tried to get at him, imprisoned him. The priest got at him. A false prophet got at him. He was thrown into a cistern, and they were hoping he would sink into the mud and die. So he wasn't treated well as a prophet. The prophets weren't treated well, because who wants to hear, you're wrong, you're doing evil, you're going the wrong way? Who wants to hear that? And in our society today, what do you hear? Oh, don't judge. Right? Be tolerant. Tolerant of evil? We shouldn't judge evil for what it is. Not the person, but what's going on, what we do or fail to do, what others do or fail to do. We have to do that as prophets. That's what a prophet does. A prophet doesn't keep his mouth shut, but he says, that's wrong. Get back on the path. Again, we may say, hey, look what almost happened to Jesus in the gospel today. They took him to a cliff. They were going to push him over, kill him. I don't want that to happen to me. Well, when we say that, we're saying, I reject my baptism. I reject God. Because if I have been baptized, if I say I have faith in Jesus Christ, then I have to take seriously the fact that I've been anointed to be a prophet. To be a prophet, first and last. That's our call as Christians. So if we look out in the world, we don't like what's going on. What are we doing about it? We go back into our nice cozy homes, turn on the TV, get a nice cup of tea. Do we go on a nice vacation to Florida in the winter months? Because, of course, we just can't take this weather. I mean, we come up with all sorts of good reasons why we fit into our society the way it's going. And we don't want to shake it too much. We don't want to rattle the cage too much, because then there may be pushback. We may get kicked because of our faith stance. But that's what happens to prophets. So if you think about prophecy, if you want to kind of gauge where you are, think of how many people hate you. If you don't have a good number of people who really hate your guts, well, probably you don't know what it means to be a prophet. If you don't have people that come up to you and shake their finger in your face, how dare you be intolerant? How dare you judge others? How dare you say that's wrong? Chances are we're keeping our mouths shut because we don't want to profess our faith and take the consequences of it. Because, again, if we are prophets, there will be pushback. There may be martyrdom. I doubt any for us, but there is martyrdom in the world for Christians who truly live their faith. But we are just like Jeremiah. One day, if we get to heaven, we'll be able to stand right next to Jeremiah and say, hi, brother prophet. Because he's just like us. He's not a special human being. We are anointed just like Jeremiah to be a prophet. So Jeremiah, Elijah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, Jesus, the greatest of all prophets, God himself, we're called to be in their company, to do what they did, and to listen to Jesus and angels and all those who have said throughout history in the scriptures and say to us even today, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. Our human lives may be taken from us, but nobody can take our eternal lives from us. So to put aside that fear And to take seriously our anointing as prophets is so crucial, not just today, but throughout history and in the future. So if we don't like what's going on, and if we know from the teachings that Christ gives us through the church, if we know that that's evil, then we have to confront it. We have to be a prophet and say, no, that's wrong. And not slam people on the head with a knife or a hammer, but to say clearly and gently and lovingly and patiently all the things St. Paul tells us to be and do, to say, no, that's not what God wants for you. And if you keep following that path, you're going to find anger and rage and hatred growing in you, because you're going to realizing that path is leading you somewhere where you really don't want to go. You may not understand that right now, but that's not where the Lord wants you. So we're all called to be prophets, to be people who are willing to say, no, that's not right, and to take the consequences of it. And that's part of our glory. Because all we're doing is following the footsteps of Jeremiah and Isaiah. All we're doing is following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. So it's not like we're inventing what prophetic commission is all about. It's given to us by God so that we can grow in our faith, in our courage, in our ability to be the prophets we were anointed to be. So this coming week, as you go forth, you're going to be bombarded with all sorts of opportunities to raise your voice like Jeremiah and say, no, that's not right. That's not good. That's not holy. That's not healthy. That's not helpful. Instead of being pulled into that, well, I want to be a nice person. I want people to feel good. Well, that's the road to hell. I think we know that. But the road to Christ, with Christ, it can be bumpy, because as we proclaim our faith, there will be that pushback again and again and again. But this week, again, you notice it. Open your hearts and your minds, your eyes, your ears. Every day in the morning say, okay, I'm a prophet, Lord. Help me to be attentive to those moments where you're calling me to give a prophetic utterance. And God even says, when you need to give it, I'm going to be there with you. I'll give you what you need to say. But we've got to be mindful about that, to be aware that, yes, I am an anointed prophet of the Most High God. Wow, can you imagine? Did you ever say that to yourself? Say it. I am an anointed prophet of the Most High God. I am an anointed prophet of the Most High God. How about that as a conversation starter? And it's true, though. It's true. I'm not giving you some fictional fantasy. It's true. Can you imagine what kind of a discussion might ensue from that? But that's what we're called to do, to be clever, to be imaginative, to be creative, to be faithful and loving, because the prophets were loving people. You had to love your brothers and sisters to put up with all the stuff they put up with. But hopefully we are loving people who want to be prophets and always open to those opportunities God gives us to proclaim the gospel, no matter what the kickback is. So again, as you go forth this week, be attentive. You'll get plenty of opportunities to practice being a prophet. You might even rehearse a little bit what you might say. Because you probably know conversations you're going to get into or situations that you'll face. But be prepared and remember that you are an anointed prophet of the Most High God. And so that's our call, to live that prophetic call each and every day, because it's rooted in our baptism. It's more a part of us than our hands and our fingers. And it's the call that Christ gives us so that we can be faithful to the gospel, grow in our faith, call other people to Christ, and one day follow Christ to be with him for all eternity.